to start by asking you what may seem to be a dumb question. Do you all know how to pray? I mean, we go through the motions, but is it something that you feel comfortable with? And how about when you're not at church? You still feel comfortable? Now, these may seem to be kind of dumb questions, but they come about because I came across an interesting blog article, people asking about how people feel about praying. And the answer being that a lot of people, even churchgoers, even people who've been members for many years, don't feel comfortable or don't know how. Well, this morning's lesson continues a theme that's been popping up recently. A few weeks ago, from one of our songs, we heard a psalmist crying out in enormous pain after tremendous loss. And we talked about the need for honesty in prayer. And this morning, we continue with another story about prayer, this one from Luke. And I'll share it with you now from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Listen now for God's word. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for the people. A widow in that city kept after him. 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' Well, he never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing about what God thinks, and even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I guess I better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' And then the master said, 'Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?'" Let's take just a moment of silent prayer to center down in God's word. Amen. I was shocked when I came across this article. I was shocked in part because it started with a quote from a young pastor out in Seattle. He said, "No one ever taught me to pray. Not at home, not in church, not in college, not at seminary. It's always been assumed that since I'm a Christian, I pray." And he went on. In fact, there were other pastors who kicked in and they said that they couldn't remember being taught to pray either. There were a few who remembered their mothers teaching them some simple prayer. I know that's how I learned. I remember learning the Lord's Prayer early on, and grace, we always said grace. But not everybody's had that experience. And in our current generations, there is even less of that going on. And many of the prayers that are learned are things that are memorized, and then people know how to spout them out, but that doesn't mean they're thinking about what they're saying. Let me give you for an example. Every week, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, you don't have to say out loud, but are there times when you've prayed the Lord's Prayer and you've said the words but haven't really thought about what you're saying? That can happen. That's one of the dangers of praying prayers that we have memorized. And then there was a young layperson who said that he went to his pastor and he asked him straight out if prayer was important. And the pastor said yes. And the young guy said, "Well, that was really sort of confusing to me because we never talk about prayer really in church." And he came from a family that wasn't religious. He had one parent who was Jewish, another parent who was Christian, and they celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas, but he said that was really more about getting presents. And it wasn't until he was an adult that he even realized that those were religious holidays. He says he knows that he's supposed to pray now, but he's not sure how. Well, this article continued. There were some surprising questions. And I thought, you know, maybe this morning, so as not to assume, that I'd touch on some of those questions. One of the first ones was, how will I know if I'm doing it right? It seems that there are a lot of people who are really worried in their prayers, afraid that they're not doing it right. And I just want to assure all of you that when you are speaking from the heart to God, you are doing it totally right. There are no special words that you need to say. You just need to speak with honesty. Another, I've seen people bow their heads and close their eyes and clasp their hands. And we do that sometimes, we bow our heads. And then I've seen others who open their eyes and have their hands uplifted. Which is the right way? And again, I would say, there is no wrong or right way. There are traditions, and in some traditions, the bowing of the heads and the taking of the hands show a sign of respect to God and show an obedience to God. And those who are raising their hands and lifting their eyes are praising God with enthusiasm. So it's not that one is right or wrong, and you can do both. But there are different ways at different times of celebrating in prayer. Another one, how much time should I pray? Well, that again is up to you. There is no special thing where one must pray this length of time, and there are going to be some prayers that may be very short, one sentence, like, help! And then there are going to be others that will be long and more meditative. Maybe times at night when you're struggling. Maybe times when you're worried. When you just want to spend time and feel God's presence. Another one. Can I pray while I'm doing other things? And tied in with that is, can I pray while I drive? That would save me a lot of time and maybe I'd have time to pray then. I want you to know I am always praying when I'm driving. Every morning going in, I am praying. And part of it is because of New Jersey drivers. That's a great motivator. Just even coming up this morning, we were amazed at some of the ways people were driving on the roads. But you know what? For me, it's a wonderful way to just be starting the day. And often I'm praying for the other drivers. I pass by a train station. I've got all these people so frantic, so focused. Oh, how am I going to get everything done today? And so I try to take that time as I'm driving by. Lord, just be with these people. Get them safely. Get us all safely to where we're going. Help each one as they try to meet the needs of their families, as they try to deal in difficult work situations. Just trying to think about these people that I'm passing by so quickly on the road. Other times, especially right now, there's so much going on, as I mentioned to some of you at work down at the seminary. A lot of pressure, a lot of challenges. And it's easy to get kind of lost in all of that or to be frustrated by things that aren't working quite the way you want. And so when I find myself in that mood, I try to reclaim a sense of gratitude. I try to look around and see the beauty of the trees and just, Lord, thank you for all the ways you're blessing me. Yes, we're called to pray without ceasing. So yes, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants us to be in relationship with Him all the time. And how wonderful it is to just, wherever you are, in whatever space, just to know God is there with you. And so as you continually talk with Him throughout the day, that will increase that sense of peace and that sense of closeness. Another question, will I annoy God if I don't do it right? Yeah, there are people who are struggling with prayer because they're afraid that somehow they won't live up to God's expectations. The thing that I want for you is for you to feel you can just be you with God. There is nothing you can say to God that's going to annoy him in your prayers. There may be times when he is hoping to move you along in your spiritual life, but it is your desire to be in contact with him that is so meaningful. You're taking the time to talk to him is so meaningful. So no, you cannot annoy God with your prayers. Do I have to go to church to pray? I think we've answered that. Absolutely not. One of the joys of praying at church is we get to do it together. And the scriptures tell us wherever two or more are gathered in his name, that there's an increased power. And there's something, like for instance, when we have our session meetings or our deacon and session meetings, we always start with prayer and we always close with prayer. And not because we have to, but we do it because there is something powerful about listening to each other, about praying together, about listening for God. It sets a tone for our time together. So I strongly encourage, another question was, should I try to pray with my spouse, or should I try to pray with my other family members? And yes, I encourage it. One of the gifts for me is the time that Tim and I spend each morning saying a prayer together. And it doesn't, again, doesn't have to be a long prayer or a fancy prayer, but it's that time praying together that can draw you closer to each other as well as to God. Another one. How do I know that God will hear my prayers? A lot of times people feel afraid that they're praying, but is God really listening? And that ties with some of the other ones about, you know, sometimes I pray, but I don't feel like I'm getting answers. And that one particularly ties into our scripture this morning. Here we have an example of a woman. It's not said whether she's Christian or not. It's just a widow, which was among the poorest of the poor, the least cared for in that time and place. And you have a judge, probably a Roman magistrate in the time. No religion involved in that at all. You have a woman who's crying out for justice, and you have a judge who's saying, "Leave me alone," who's ignoring her. And she is persistent. She's persistent. She doesn't give up. Now, this is important to us in our prayer life as well. And it does a couple of things. One is, as we're persistent, it signifies the fact that we are not willing to just give up and walk away. There is a faithfulness that's involved in our continuing to turn to God, even when we don't get answers right away. There is a continuing conversation that's going on as we're watching and we're waiting to see how God is going to respond in a certain context, in a certain environment. But here's the thing. There are reasons that God doesn't always answer immediately. One of the reasons is that, have you ever noticed that when God does not answer immediately, that sometimes the question itself evolves? Sometimes over a period of time, as we're waiting, we start to see things a little bit differently. A lot of times God doesn't answer immediately because he is encouraging that growth within us. It's like a seed that's planted that has to take time to break open and to root and to grow. The other thing is that sometimes God is working even when we don't immediately see the results. We're sort of like the kid who's going in and tugging at mom's apron and saying, "Mom, is dinner ready yet? Is dinner ready yet? I'm hungry. I'm hungry." Mom's busy fixing, but no, it's not ready yet. That meatloaf's in the oven, and it's going to take an hour before it's finished cooking. Got other things on the stove, and she's saying, "No, not yet, not yet." And God is the same way. Now, if she pulled that meatloaf out and started feeding that kid then, he'd be getting food poisoning, right? Everything happens within God's perfect timing, and we can't always see what's going on behind the scenes. We can't always know. But what we can know is that God does hear, and in his perfect time, he will answer, he will respond. Another question that comes up: what if I'm praying for one thing and other people are praying for the opposite? God is always working his perfect will. And usually when we're praying for one thing that another person is praying the opposite of, it has to do more about us than about God. And it has often more to do with our personal self-interests than it does with God's will and God's bigger purpose. So when we get in ourselves in those situations where we feel that we're praying for something and someone else is praying for something else, then we need to look at ourselves and we need to think about what it is and what our motives are and why we feel we need a particular answer. Another question that comes up: I don't feel holy enough or good enough or worthy enough to pray. I feel embarrassed to pray. You know what? There is no perfect prayer except one that comes from an honest heart. God created every single one of us unique and different. And the words that may seem inadequate to you can be like a hymn of beauty to someone else. We're all very self-critical. But this isn't a competition. This isn't about being perfect. This is about being real. It's about being you. It's about you seeking God's will in your life. So there is no way for you to pray a bad prayer. And finally, how can God hear my prayer when millions of other people are praying at the same time? God hears it all, he knows it all, and he's weaving it all into something perfect and something beautiful. We talk about prayer different times. We include prayer in our worship services. But you know, I want you to feel comfortable having those conversations with God. And so if you have questions or if there are ways that we can help you in that communication, then that's what we're going to do going forward. My friends, we worship an amazing God who cares for every single one of you, every single person. And every day he's showing that. We may not always see it, but it's there. So do not give up in your prayers. Do not give up in your faith. Just keep pushing forward, because the God who loves you always answers. And now, let us pray. Lord God, we may forget what a gift it is to be able to talk to you, to be able to share our feelings, our frustrations, our joys, our sorrows, our needs, and to know that you're really listening to us, that you really hear. We pray, Lord, that our prayers might not just be about our own special needs, but Lord, help us to be open to where you lead us and where you call us. And Lord, as we continue to seek your will as your church family, help us to continue to be persistent and faithful, even as you are faithful to us. In your name we pray. Amen.